Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air, online, and on Facebook, and we're glad you've joined us. Today, we continue in our study through the Simple Gospel Simply Grace Study Guide. We'll be picking up on page 60 at the heading, Forgiving Others. Because this is a study edition of Basic Gospel, the phone lines are not open today. So let's get underway. And here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. As you said, we will be starting on page 60, learning how to forgive others. And that learning how to forgive others is really tied to the forgiveness that we have in Christ. And as we read some of the passages today, we're going to see that very clearly written out for us in the Word of God. So just to kind of recap what we've learned over the last several weeks, Jesus has forgiven our sins. And in forgiving our sins, there's a lot of action that God took in Jesus to bring that about.
Yes.
These weren't merely words that God spoke into our lives or Jesus spoke into our lives. They were actions that buoy up that phrase, your sins have been forgiven or your sins are forgiven. There's a lot of work behind that. And so God sent Jesus, and Jesus took our sins upon himself. So picture your sins as maybe little pieces of Velcro that were stuck on you. Well, God took those pieces of Velcro off of you and placed them on Jesus so that he could die in your place. And then he sent those sins away. So through Jesus' shed blood, he became the sacrificial lamb. He also became the scapegoat.
Yes.
So he took away our sins out into the wilderness, as far away from us as the east is to the west. And that's an infinite distance. Mm-hmm. And then he chooses to remember them no more based on the shed blood of Jesus Christ. So we ended last week with this summary statement. This is what God has done with your sins. He removed them from you and placed them on Christ. He sent them away through Christ's shed blood, and now he remembers them no more. This is forgiveness. This is the gift of grace. So without the shedding of blood, without what Christ did, there would be no forgiveness. Those words would have no meaning whatsoever. So forgiveness required the shedding of blood, and in that shedding of blood, these things have occurred. Sins removed, sins sent away, sins remembered no more. And talk about good news. That is good news.
Good news.
Now we're going to transition and think about, okay, we've received forgiveness from God. How do we extend forgiveness to others? And so if God is the only one who has the authority and power to forgive sins, why does the Bible encourage us to forgive others? And I think that is a very important question, and it's something that we really need to think through. When we forgive others, why are we doing that? How are we doing that? And on what basis do we extend forgiveness to others? And that's what we want to discuss on today's edition of Basic Gospel. So we're going to look at a couple of passages. The first is in Ephesians chapter 4. And this is a really powerful passage. It gets into the practical living out of this gospel message. So Paul has spent a good three chapters really laying out what the gospel is, the fact that we have been saved by grace through faith in Jesus. And in that saving, he's made us alive together with Christ. He's forgiven all of our sins. In him, we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. We've been added to this body, both Jew and Gentile. We've become one new man in Christ. And so as he kind of pivots from chapter 3 to chapter 4, he gets into the practical outliving of that within the body of Christ. So naturally, within the body of Christ, we're going to offend one another at various times and in various places.
Say it isn't so, Bob.
That's just reality, isn't
it? Yeah, it is.
That is just the reality of life. We're going to offend others, and others are going to offend us, even fellow members of the body of Christ, brothers and sisters in Christ. So he gives us some practical things that to live out to handle those situations. and one is this forgiveness. So in Ephesians 4:32, Paul wrote this, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. So how are we to forgive? In exactly the same way that God has forgiven us. Now, can we shed our blood for someone else?
Yeah, that does raise a problem.
That's right. Can we remove that sin from that person and place it upon ourselves? Can we send that sin away? Can we remember that sin no more? I've had a lot of sins done against me, and I remember a lot of them.
Yes.
And I can remember them in vivid detail. So can we do for another person what God in Christ has done for us?
No.
And the answer is absolutely not. And that's why Paul uses a completely different word for forgiveness here than what he's used or what the New Testament has used in describing the forgiveness that God has given us.
Yes.
And it's a very interesting word. It's a word that the root part of it is charis, which is grace. So it is the word charisma, I think is how you say it.
And close.
Close. So correct me.
Charizomai.
Okay. Charizomai. I'm going to have to go take some Greek, and at least Greek pronunciation. So for a Southern boy, it's charizomai.
Yeah, it is.
So that's the forgiveness that we extend to someone else. And what that means is to show someone favor or to be kind to that person. It means to pardon, to graciously remit a person's sin. And that word remit can mean to cancel or to refrain from exacting a punishment. It can also mean to send money in payment or as a gift. So if we're remitting somebody's sin, we're choosing not to act in a judicial way or a just way, but we choose to send kindness instead of justice.
Yes.
And that's a very important thing. And we do that based on the forgiveness that we have in Christ Jesus. There's another interesting definition of this word. It means to hand someone over to the authorities.
Yes.
For example, Paul was handed over to the authorities. He was also handed over to a mob. And it's the same word. And so when someone sins against you, it's basically you're taking that sin and handing it over to Jesus.
Yeah.
And letting him take care of it and absorb it and do all that he does with that. So it's no longer a matter of concern for us.
Yes.
And I think that's an important thing for us to realize. We hand it over to Jesus. He's already dealt with it. So it's no longer a matter of concern for us. So now we can act in kindness and graciously toward those who have offended us. That's good news, isn't
it? Oh, it is. And, you know, we talk often here, whether on the broadcast or in the teaching, of allowing God's love to overflow or allowing God's grace to overflow. This is a practical example of what that means. It overflows to other people, so instead of exacting our pound of flesh, we literally hand it back to God and allow the love to restore a relationship.
Right. Now, Paul repeats this this encouragement in his letter to the Colossians, and he wrote this, bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. So it's basically a sister verse. It's
yes.
A parallel. It's saying much the same thing. But I think it's important for us to spend a little bit of time on this idea of forgiving as the Lord has forgiven you, to forgive as the Lord forgave you, and we'll do that in just a minute.
You're listening to Basic Gospel, everybody. It's the regular Friday teaching series through the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace Study Guide. And if you'd like to end your struggle, if you'd like to get full assurance of your forgiveness and salvation, experience victory over sin, and see the power at work that raised Jesus from the dead, well, it's all there in Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. You can find the book and the study guide at SimpleGospelSimplyGrace.com. Now, it's all run together except the .com, SimpleGospelSimplyGrace.com. studyguide.com. We encourage you to go there today. And if you don't have the book and the study guide, we encourage you to get your copy. It will be a tremendous blessing to you. We're glad that you've joined us for the study today. And, well, let's continue, Bob.
Well, let's do continue. So we're to forgive others as God in Christ has forgiven us. So that's who we look to. Forgiveness is something that God came up with. He's the God who forgives. So forgiveness isn't a man-made concept, a man-made idea. It's not something that we dreamed up on our own. We know something about forgiveness because God has forgiven us. He has chosen to do that through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. So let's stop a few minutes and ask some questions about how God forgave us. So God so loved the world that he sent Jesus,
yes,
so that those who believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. So who took the initiative in sending Jesus?
God did.
God did. When Jesus was on the cross, he looked down and he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing." So who initiated that act of forgiveness? Jesus Christ did. No one was standing at the foot of the cross looking up at Jesus as his blood is pouring out of his hands and legs and his side and bleeding from his forehead from the crown of thorns. No one stood at the foot of the cross and looked up at Jesus and said, "Jesus, please forgive me of my sins." There was the thief on one cross that said, "Lord, have mercy upon me." But no one was there asking for forgiveness. And yet Jesus took the initiative and said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing." So everything about God's forgiveness toward us was initiated by God. He didn't wait for us to come to him and say, "Lord, please forgive me." He just sent Jesus to act on our behalf.
Yes.
We have forgiveness because God took the initiative to provide forgiveness for us in Christ. Now, oftentimes in our human way of thinking, we reverse that. We will say, "I will extend forgiveness as soon as somebody comes back to me and apologizes. And they better apologize with a measure of sincerity. I better know that they really mean it."
Yeah, I'll be the judge of
that
too.
And if they mean it, then maybe I will say you're forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
But not until they come back. And we talk about, you know, that with our kids. You know, our kids do something wrong, and we want them to come back and say, "We're sorry." And, well, if we actually parent that way, we're really sorry parents.
Yes.
You know, if your kid has done something wrong, you go to your kid. You deal with it. You love your kid in the midst of that. That's what good parenting is all about. So if you're sitting there waiting for your kid to come back on his knees, groveling and saying, "I'm so sorry I did this," and then maybe you'll consider forgiving them, you've got it backwards.
Yeah.
You're not following the pattern that God has set for us in Christ. He took the initiative. So if somebody has offended you, you take the initiative. You go to that person. And you extend forgiveness to them. You extend grace and kindness to that person. Why? Because you have forgiveness in Christ, and that person, God has already dealt with that sin once and for all through Jesus. So allow that truth to compel you, to move you, to initiate this act of kindness toward another person. And that act of kindness will do something in that person's heart, just as God's act of kindness in Christ did something in our hearts. So if somebody has offended you, has wronged you, allow the forgiveness of God that you have to move you to take the initiative to reach out and forgive that person.
Yeah.
And boy, that just changes everything, doesn't it?
It does. I find it interesting that in both of these passages, Ephesians and Colossians, when it talks about as God in Christ forgave us, he uses that same other word in that case. And so what he's talking about, the aphiemi forgiveness, is a transaction that happened between God and Jesus on our behalf, but it
right.
happened between them. This other word, charizomai, is the result of that, where he just pours the results into us and allows us to express that to other people. And when you see that balance, you and I had nothing to do with our forgiveness.
Right.
But we have all the responsibility and the privilege of allowing that forgiveness to flow through us to others. Mm-hmm. That is the core of relationship, I think.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. So if somebody has offended you, let's just kind of work this through. I think the first thing you do is you hand that over to Jesus.
Yes.
And realize that he's already dealt with it.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't really have to be concerned about that anymore because it's already been dealt with by the most just one that's ever been, ever will be. It's been handled. It's been taken care of. It's been absorbed in the blood mm-hmm. of Christ Jesus. So you don't have to worry about exacting justice. You don't have to worry about bringing the books back into balance. You have really been set free to extend grace and kindness.
Yes.
So put it in the hands of God, take it out of your hands and put it into the one that has already dealt with it so that you don't have to pay attention to it as far as balancing the books. And then second, take the initiative. If you've been offended, go and take the initiative and extend forgiveness based on the forgiveness that you have in Christ. And then the third thing, leave the results of that in God's hands.
Yes.
Don't think of a particular outcome that you hope this is going to bring about, because you're not sure if it will or not. For somebody to receive forgiveness from you, they have to admit that they're guilty. Mm-hmm. If I receive forgiveness from God, that's an admission of my guilt.
Yes.
I am guilty as charged. And thank you, Jesus, for handling the legal side of it, that you've taken my punishment. And now that you're free to give me grace, to extend grace to me. But I, in receiving that forgiveness, I say I'm guilty.
Yes.
So when I go to somebody, when I initiate and go to that person and say, you're forgiven, and they receive it, they're admitting guilt.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not sure if they're going to admit that or not.
That's not my responsibility.
That's right. And oftentimes they don't.
Mm-hmm.
They don't receive it at all. And at that point, the relationship is strained, and you'll just have to let God work it out.
Yeah.
If they receive the forgiveness, you see some reconciliation take place. And boy, is that wonderful when that happens. Because when you get reconciled, when you work through that and you come together, it's stronger than what it was before. And that is a powerful, powerful thing. So the basis of this act of grace toward another person, we can really see that in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And this is one of those signature passages, one of those passages that you really need to know as a believer, that you need to underline, memorize, and just go back to it time and time again. And here's what the Apostle Paul said, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ. So sin brought about a separation, didn't it?
Yes.
We lost the life of God. There was a separation. We see that really in the Garden of Eden, as God kicked them out of the garden mm-hmm. and said, you can't come back in, and put angels at the entryway to prohibit them from coming back in.
Yes.
So we see that separation very vividly there, and we feel that separation when we come into this world and we really, you know, our moral senses awaken and we kind of understand what's really going on. We sense and feel that separation, but God is restoring that in Christ. He's bridging the gap in Christ. He is reconciling us to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them.
Yeah.
And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. So our act of kindness is really built upon this passage, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
You
see what God did in Christ. I mean, he was reconciling the world. And that's before we said, oh, Jesus, I love you.
Yes.
He didn't wait for us to accept. He fixed the problem. And then the Spirit comes to us and says, you know, there's no gulf here anymore. You can come to Jesus just right now and accept this. And if we do that, then we become ministers of reconciliation and can do the same for others, whether they accept or not. And so you get this balance again where, like, I love the word you use, where we can take the initiative with someone else, someone we know, and we're free to do that, and there's no pressure for them to accept or reject the offer. It's just something we do because that's what we've received.
Right. God isn't counting that sin against Correct. That person. And if God isn't counting that sin against that person, why should I?
Mm-hmm.
And that's how we need to think. And probably the most important place that this is applied is within marriage, within family yeah. relationships. For you to have a successful marriage, a strong marriage, a marriage, a relationship that is growing and getting stronger at each passing day, forgiveness has to be at the heart and soul of it.
Yes.
We have to extend forgiveness and be humble enough to receive forgiveness, to admit when we're wrong mm-hmm. and receive the forgiveness that our mate is offering to us. And as we do, we're going to see, you know, our love for one another grow, because forgiveness really is an act of love.
Yes.
And if somebody can see me for who I really am and, you know, dig deep inside of me and see all the junk and the yuckiness and all of that and forgive me and love me, my love for Gina is going to grow.
Yeah.
And she certainly knows me better than anyone else on the planet. And she's seen all my yuckiness and she's seen all my sin and she's felt some of that and some words I've said and things I've done, but yet she has
yeah.
taken the initiative, and she is forgiven, and I receive that. I recognize I'm guilty as charged, and so I receive that, and it does something. It's a powerful act that draws us even closer together.
Mm-hmm.
She's free to do that because Christ has done his work in forgiving me already. I'm free to extend forgiveness because Christ has done his work already.
Yeah.
And so we can look at each other and not count those sins against one another in a relationship.
Yeah.
We do that with kids. We do that with those that we work with people within the body of Christ, our churches that we attend. That's how we're to live. If we've been wronged, take the initiative. Why? Because God took the initiative with us in Christ.
Yeah.
And that is such a powerful truth, isn't it?
Oh, it is. And you know, in your own heart of hearts, when you say to someone, I forgive you, whether you mean it or if you're being manipulative. You also know if someone else says, I forgive you, whether they mean it or whether they're trying to manipulate you. Let's stop with the games
right.
and allow the Spirit to inform every one of these actions.
Yes, indeed. Well, so as you can see, there's much more to forgiveness yeah. than meets the eye. It's not just words. It's mm-hmm. all built upon the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. We can thank God today that Jesus Christ shed his blood for us, and he extends those powerful words, your sins are forgiven. That's good news.
That is better than good. That's great. Friends, we're glad that you've joined us for the study today, Basic Gospel. And if you don't yet have your copy of the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace Study Guide and book, well, we encourage you to go to the website that we prepared especially for this particular book, SimpleGospelSimplyGrace.com. Again, that's SimpleGospelSimplyGrace.com. Keep in mind, too, that your questions are one of the primary fuels for this Basic Gospel radio program. And we know that many of you are not able to call when we're actually on the air live. So we have a couple of ways that you can pose your question to us. First, overnight or over the weekend, you can give us your question and a voicemail message by dialing our regular number, 844-322-2742. It's available around the clock, day in and day out, 844-322-2742. Or number two, you can send us an email with your question to bob@basicgospel.net. Either way, a great way to pose your question and hear it back on the air at a later time. Remember, your questions are very important to us, so let us hear from you. Well, that does it for this edition of Basic Gospel, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper, and the Basic Gospel Ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again on Monday for another live edition of Basic Gospel. Have a great weekend in and because of the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.